Let's just take these stories one by one, Alexander, these headlines that I've pulled up on the browser in my tabs here, and then we'll get to the final thing that we can discuss, which is the pending lawsuit between the European Union and Germany. Jeez, what a circus that is. We called it. We did a video on this. We called it, and now they're reporting on it. Mm-hmm. Good on Zero Hedge for reporting on it. Mm-hmm. Alexander, but let's go back to Obamagate. As Trump has now baptized it, it is now officially Obamagate. Trump sent the tweet, which just said Obamagate. Mm-hmm. It's good to see Trump back in form and back on the attack on Twitter and you know, just moving away from the CV stuff. Mm-hmm. It's good to see him starting to raise hell, and rightly so after what they did to him. But I want to read you a headline from the Gateway Pundit. The news is coming in fast. I mean, it is just the dam has broke. Mm. The dam has broke, and it's just all coming out about Obama and his cronies and what they did. And the headline from the Gateway Pundit, we'll start with this one. Now we know John Podesta admits in testimony both DNC and Hillary campaign split the cost for bogus Trump-Russia dossier that launched the coup. And so one of the transcripts from the interviews has goes like this. Let me just read you the first small part. Dr. Wenstrup, which is a congressman who was, I guess he was interviewing John Podesta, asked, and you testified then you did not know who paid Fusion GPS. And Mr. Podesta said, I don't have a transcript in front of me. I don't know that was the precise question. I think that I only learned subsequently that the payments were made through Perkins Coie, 50% from the campaign, 50% from the DNC. Mm. So, I mean, they were going around the news.
He's only the chairman of the campaign, wasn't he?
Exactly. He has no idea.
No idea, absolutely.
And they were going around all the mainstream media, you know.
Well, saying
one thing while under oath, they admitted that they paid for the entire dossier. I mean, even Hillary Clinton was going around going, I don't know anything about this dossier and anything that's going on there with this Russia Trump hotel thing in Moscow. Pure lies. Pure lies.
Let's just take a step back and think about this. The DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign paid for the dossier. They split the cost between them. They knew that, obviously, because they were doing it. 2016, they're going knocking on every single door throughout the media world, pushing this dossier. Do they tell anybody there this is actually our funded research? No. The FBI and other agencies in the US intelligence community are making decisions based upon this dossier. Remember, we have a Democrat administration in office. The Democrats know that the FBI and the intelligence community is looking at this dossier. Do any of them come forward to the FBI, to the intelligence community, to the White House even, and say, well, you know this dossier that you're pushing around, be aware it was we who paid for it? No, they don't do that. The dossier eventually appears in January 2017. We've discussed at great length how that happened. Do Hillary Clinton, the DNC, all of those people come forward and say, well, actually, that's our opposition research? No, they don't. What actually happens is the media runs off with it. There's all sorts of stories about how it came about and who was responsible for it. You remember there was even suggestions that it originated with Republicans. Republican opponents of Donald Trump at one time. It's true that Christopher Steele had some contact with some of his opponents, but I mean, this is a purely Democrat DNC Hillary Clinton campaign operation. So they run with it for months and months and months. And I think it's only in October, November of that year, 2017, that finally we start to get the admission that that it was actually paid for by the DNC. So they ran with this myth that this thing was an independent investigation for over a year. They didn't admit it to the FBI, to the White House, although the White House people almost certainly knew it anyway, or the media, who probably worked it out in truth also. But most importantly, the American people also. They didn't come clean and say, this is our research, this is our dossier, we paid for it. And what happens instead? They're busy promoting it. And Adam Schiff, who is, of course, a Democrat, well-connected Democrat, in March 2017, he reads vast extracts from it into the congressional record.
All right. Well, let's just keep on moving along, Alexander, because we have a lot of headlines to
discuss here. As I was saying, there's so much coming up now that it makes my head spin. Well, not entirely, because I'm not surprised at some of the things I'm reading. I am surprised at some of the things I'm reading. But anyway, carry on.
Well, I've got three tabs from Zero Hedge on Obama right here. Really good headlines. Number one is Obama participated in plot to frame Flynn, according to Sidney Powell. And let me read you what she said. This is great. Quote, the whole thing was orchestrated and set up within the FBI. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, former CIA Director John Brennan, and in the Oval Office meeting that day with President Obama, said Powell, when asked if she thinks Flynn was the victim of a plot that extended to Obama, she said, and I quote, Alexander, she said, absolutely.
I saw I've actually seen the interview, and I mean, it's crystal clear. And of course, she is closer to the evidence than anyone else because she is Flynn's defense lawyer. She's actually seen much more of the documentation, remember, than has yet been released and that we have done. But this 5th January 2017 meeting is absolute dynamite. I said it's the closest we've got to so far to a smoking gun. And there's one point that Sidney Powell makes. Well, I actually would say that she's actually a bit wrong. She says this thing was with the FBI. It was not the FBI. Who is at that meeting? Obama's the president of the United States. He's not FBI. Clapper is not FBI. He is the director of national intelligence. And Brennan is not of the FBI. He is director of the CIA. It was those three. Comey obviously plays his role. But I mean, all of them were involved, clearly. But who's the boss? Who's the person ultimately in charge? Well, the person whose office, the Oval Office, is the President of the United States, Barack Obama himself. I don't think that there is any doubt at all now that Barack Obama was intimately involved in staging the Flynn affair. I mean, Sidney Powell says it. I think the facts of this meeting confirm it. And I think I sent you yesterday a very interesting article by Andrew McCarthy on National Review, who points out that in fact, Sally Yates, who we'd all thought for a very long time and been allowed to think, we'd been encouraged to think that all these ideas about the Logan Act and all of this had actually come from her. She was set up as the dummy. I mean, she was the person who they were all hiding behind. She went into this meeting. She had no idea about Logan Act, no idea about Flynn speaking to Kislyak. Nobody had told her about this in advance. She comes out of this meeting with her jaw, you know, gaping. You know, what's going on? All sorts of things then start to happen. People, you know, Comey breaks the rules, as he admits. You know, I got away with it. He sends the FBI to meet with Flynn. And, you know, they're just running around Yates, who you know, ultimately, eventually starts to make some feeble objections. You know, by the way, it's changed my understanding a bit of Yates. I mean, that bizarre business when she came out and said that she wasn't going to implement Trump's executive order. I mean, it looks to me as if she was actually trying to find a way out of the Justice Department, because clearly things there, she'd completely lost control of things and was clearly being set up also as a potential fall guy if things went wrong.
I'm glad you brought up that January 5th meeting, because the next headline I have is flashback. Obama ordered Comey to conceal FBI activities right before Trump took office. And this takes us to Susan Rice's email to herself, which will definitely go down in history. Let me read you the important parts of this story as well. I'll probably put all these links in the description box, actually, for our viewers to take a look at them. And so here's the important part as to what I think we could discuss here. And it was the January 5th, 2017 meeting, which was oddly documented by Susan Rice in an email to herself on January 20th, 2017. Coincidentally, that is Inauguration Day, which summarized that meeting. And there's two key things that she put in that email to herself. Number one is President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia. The next portion of the email is classified, but Rice then noted that, quote, the president asked Comey to inform him if anything changes in the next few weeks that should affect how we share classified information with the incoming team. Comey said he would. And so instead of briefing Trump on the Flynn investigation, Comey privately briefed Trump on the most salacious and absurd P-tape allegation in the Christopher Steele dossier. The fact that Comey did so leaked to the press, which used the briefing itself as justification to report on and publish the dossier. What Comey didn't brief Trump on was the FBI's BS case against Michael Flynn, accusing the incoming National Security Advisor of being a potential Russian agent. And according to the Federalist, even after Obama had left office and Comey had a new commander-in-chief to report to, Comey continued to follow Obama's prompt by withholding intel from Trump. The Federalist also raises questions about former DNI James Clapper, specifically whether Clapper lied to Congress in July of 2017 when he said he never briefed Obama on the substance of phone calls between Flynn and the Russian ambassador Sergei Kislyak.
Well, on the last, we know he did lie because he did. I mean, that's straightforward. I mean, in this all this convoluted story,
wouldn't it be the first time?
I know. But I mean, that was. Now we can say definitely that was a straightforward lie. That was outright lying to Congress, and it was perjury. I mean, that is perjury because on an important material fact, we now know for an absolute unequivocal crystal fact that it was Clapper who informed Obama about Flynn's conversations with Kislyak. So that we can settle. Where to begin with this extraordinary meeting? I mean, firstly, we discussed Susan Rice's memo and I think a video that's we've just done about that meeting. And I said at the time that I thought this memo looked to me very much like the construction of a cover story. And when you have a cover story being constructed, that's a clear sign that a cover-up is going on and that some things are being hidden. And here somebody has drilled through, the Federalist has drilled through the memo itself, and already they are discovering things from the memo itself that prove that things were being hidden. There is clearly an instruction from Obama to Comey to conceal information about Flynn from Donald Trump, who is about to become president of the United States. And in fact, Comey goes on concealing that information from Donald Trump after Donald Trump becomes president of the United States. Now, that is terrible in itself. That is beyond awful. I mean, the very fact that they're not sharing this information with Donald Trump proves conclusively that Trump is the target here. I mean, they really believed that Flynn was compromised by the Russians in some way. The first thing they should have done is told Trump, your national security advisor or intended national security advisor is in fact compromised. That was their duty. The fact that they didn't do it shows that it was Trump they were targeting. So already we have a clear breach of duty to the president, the future president of the United States. Already we have a sign that Obama is concealing information. And that's, as I said, from the memo that provides the cover story. But just take a step back and think through what the Federalist is saying. They're saying that Trump is shown the Steele dossier with all the, you know, the PE tape and all that nonsense at that meeting on the following day, but he is not told about Flynn. Is it really believable that they made a decision, Obama, Comey, Susan Rice, and the others, that Trump would not be told about Flynn, and that they didn't discuss the Steele dossier? Of course they did. Of course they did. They clearly, I have no doubt of this, they must have agreed in that meeting on the 5th of January that on the following day, Trump would be confronted with a Steele dossier.
Obama
was involved in that also. Are there any doubt?
What a bunch of gossip girls. You know, I can just imagine all of them sitting in the Oval Office and just scheming this whole thing out. I mean, it's just so childish. It really is. I mean, let me read that line to you once again, then we'll move on to the next headline, which has to do with Durham.
Yeah.
Because I think it's so important to emphasize, according to Susan Rice, we have to say that according to Susan Rice's email to herself, Obama said, "We are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia." I mean, they're setting the whole thing up. Setting the whole thing up.
Of course they are. And who actually talks like that? We are mindful to ascertain that if we cannot. I mean, already that's
convoluted. Why did Susan Rice write this email?
Well, as I said, she's trying to cover up. And of course, the point is the fact that she's covering up and things like that are seeping through.
Covering up for herself?
Covering up for Obama. Of course she is. Of course, for Obama.
But how does that cover up Obama by her admitting that Obama gave the order?
It doesn't. It's just one of those things that she just can't get round. So she uses very convoluted language, which tries to rationalize the decision. Because that's what it's doing. It's trying to rationalize the decision by suggesting that there's some major problem with the Russians. And, you know, information with can't be shared with the Russians. So she must have spent, I can tell you this, several minutes trying to work out that sentence. somebody who studies the way people write things, when people use that kind of language, you know that they're trying to conceal things. So she was rationalizing. It's an attempt to try to explain away in the sentence as it's written a decision which is wrong. But it is a decision which Obama, Rice, Comey, and all the rest knew might one day they might be asked
boomerang back.
So that's why she does
right.
it. That's why she
right.
does it. But there's lots of other things. I am sure that Susan Rice is hiding other things.
Oh, yeah.
When she has Obama, for example, right. talking about, you know, we must do things by the book. Why does he need to say that? Yeah. Why does he need to say that at all? Because he knows that they're not doing things by the book. That's why people say things. Otherwise, everybody works by the book.
This is Susan Rice's... Yeah, this is Susan Rice's get out of jail.
Exactly. Card. Exactly. Get out of jail for herself. Get out of jail for Obama.
For everyone.
For everyone who was at that meeting. Yeah. I mean, Comey, by the way, comes out terribly from this affair. But, the, you know, by now, he must be really sweaty.
They don't care about Comey.
He's the one who's going to flip. This is my expectation. He is the one who's going to flip first.
Yeah, they don't care about Comey, and they'll throw him under the bus. So if I was Comey, I would flip on them because
absolutely.
There's no doubt. Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, and Barack Obama, maybe Clapper and Brennan, they're all kind of, you know, All palling around there. They'll flip on Comey.
Absolutely. Clapper and Brennan were not at that particular meeting, but they'd just been at a meeting that had just preceded it. So you can be sure. I mean, we don't know what was happening. But remember, Clapper and Brennan are in constant contact with Susan Rice.
Yeah.
So Susan Rice, probably, I'm guessing. But, you know, this is a formed guess. Will have briefed them after the meeting with Comey and Yates about what was agreed.
And that brings us to Durham. The headline is Durham supercharges investigation with elite prosecutors to review witch hunt. Let me read you the first sentence of this story. John Durham has supercharged his review into the origins of the Russiagate hoax orchestrated by the Obama administration during and after the 2016 U.S. election, adding additional top prosecutors to explore different components of the original probe, according to Fox News. I love it. Fox News, Zero Hedge here, Katie McFarlane, Sidney Powell, everyone is openly now saying this is all falling at the feet of Obama. I mean, all of them are saying the Obama administration did this.
I would point out that we were saying it, 2 years ago, even before. And, you know, at the time when we were saying it, I don't think many other people were, if anybody was.
No one was.
I mean, it's inconceivable that Obama as president would not have known what was going on. It just doesn't work like that. But no, as to the news about Durham, you know, beefing up his investigation and bringing in prosecutors, after all we just heard this last 2 weeks, are you surprised? Are you not, on the contrary, as I am, profoundly grateful? Not before time. Let's get some real, proper investigating done. I mean, it shouldn't be left to people like us on the Duran. It should not be left to Sidney Powell, who, remember, is a defense attorney. It should not be left to heroic journalists like the late Robert Parry to expose these things. There needs to be a proper investigation. Proper investigators need to look at this. They need to look at how this whole ridiculous, nonsensical story was allowed to take off. And perhaps, find out some even worse things. I mean, there's a certain individual whose name we're not allowed to discuss, whose life ended in 2016. And there have been questions about how that happened and who was responsible. And though it's known that this person was killed, the person who killed him has never been traced. Now, we're continuously told that this has nothing to do with Russiagate. Maybe that's true, but maybe it's time that was investigated also.
And Assange.
And Assange.
There was there's a very astute, very good comment in our Obama video where I forgot the commenter, but they said pretty much now that the Flynn thing has fallen apart and the DNC hack has fallen apart, admittedly so by CrowdStrike's very own CEO.
Yes, I know.
Why are you holding Assange? Why WikiLeaks? Why?
It did. Well, quite so. I mean, really, I mean, that is one of the most puzzling and extraordinary stories about this and one of the most tragic ones, because, of course, the whole point about the way in which Assange has been smeared as a Russian agent and as a person who somehow plotted with the Russians has done him so much damage. And it isn't true. As we can see,
it's
falling apart. Every part of this thing is falling apart. The only thing left, which we'll come to shortly, no doubt, is Mr. Mifsud and his mysterious affairs, which, I think it's high time people started to ask.
Yeah, let's go after Mifsud. Let's go after Mifsud and see what's going on there. Real quickly, Alexander, this is a very long before the video segment, actually, but it's a good one. Very quickly, let's shift gears to Europe. And the headline is once again from Zero Hedge, because we reported on this when no one was reporting on this. Zero Hedge, I think you guys are watching our videos, everybody at Zero Hedge. But anyway, we love Zero Hedge. It's a great publication. A legal nightmare. In latest European freak show, EU threatens to sue Germany over QE ruling. This is the story that we reported on, Alexander.
Absolutely. This is the decision of the German Constitutional Court, which said that the European Central Bank had overstepped its rules by buying bonds via QE, government bonds via QE, that this clearly contradicted the treaties, and that the European Court of Justice had acted wrongly in allowing that to happen. Now, that has created a legal earthquake. We were talking about this in that video. We said this was an extraordinary decision, and it's bizarre, by the way, how long it took for the media to sort of grasp the implications of it. Legal judgments are never easy to understand, but this one is an earthquake, because Germany's most powerful court, Germany being the most powerful state in the European Union, has now said that a decision of the European Central Bank and of the European Court of Justice is that they're wrong, that they're inconsistent with the German constitution, and that Germany should not follow them. Now, the European Court of Justice has issued a stiff statement saying that, you know, it has primacy over the German Constitutional Court. And now we have all these threats from the European Commission to bring proceedings against Germany. Well, all I can say is good luck with that. If they try and do anything so stupid as to bring a legal case against Germany, defying the German Constitutional Court, then all they will do is they will provoke a furious reaction within Germany. The Germans have huge respect for their Constitutional Court. They have huge respect for their constitutional system, which, by the way, isn't a proper constitution, but that's another story for another day. But they have great regard for it. They take it extremely seriously. And of course, on these specific policies, on the zero interest rates, the negative interest rates, the QE, German opinion, as I have witnessed for myself right across Germany, is very, very angry about all of these steps. So for the European Central Bank, the European Court of Justice, and the European Commission to come along and say the German Constitutional Court is wrong and we're going to sue Germany, and fine Germany if Germany doesn't come along and humbly say, well, you know, we were all wrong about that, we take it all back, and you've done it absolutely right, and carry on doing what you were doing. If they're crazy enough to do that, then they will convert what is already a very difficult judgment for them into an absolute, you know, dynamite. They have a tiger by the tail. A tiger that can swallow them. And they should understand that and start to try and find ways to row back. But these people have no reverse gear, as we've discussed so many times.
Yeah, well put. Alexander, let's get moving to a main video here.
No.